And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning, and you're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes, and we're with you until 12 o'clock, and we've got a busy show lined up for you. Lots of different stuff coming up over the next wee while. We want to hear from you as well, by the way. Maybe you've got a comment on some of the stuff we're featuring, or indeed you wish to pass on your own information. 086 60 25 000, that's the WhatsApp and text number, 086 60 25 000, or give us a call on 074 91 25 000, and send your emails to comments@highlandradio.com. and if you want to watch the show, you know the story, we're streaming on YouTube, Facebook and on the X platform. And digging through the papers, it's all Rory McIlroy. I'll read some quotes from Micheál Martin a little later on, but obviously the papers have gone to town on it. Maybe people, especially those who don't like golf, are a bit bored of it. We're not talking about that today, but a bit of a debate raging online as to, well, A, which county is the most prolific in producing top sports stars. I mean, we're in for a shout there across multiple disciplines, but Rory's county is pretty good, it has to be said. Georgie Best and many others out of his county. But the other debate is going, is Rory McIlroy the best Irish sports person ever? And it's raging on social media. What do you think? Do you think what he achieved puts him into that bracket? Or perhaps maybe you've got a different person that you believe to be the best sport person Ireland has ever produced. So maybe you want to suggest who's the best sports person out of the Northwest? Who's the best sports person this island has ever produced? Is it Rory McIlroy? You can text that in to 086 60 25 000. Who is our best sports person ever? And I think golf fans will go with McIlroy, but I mean, obviously, if you take a passing interest in it, you probably don't really see the significance of his achievements. But interesting, maybe. I'll think on myself. I don't know who our best... it's not necessarily who your favourite sports person ever is. But I don't know who... I don't know who I might pick as the best all round on off the island of Ireland. I'll leave it up to you guys. 086 60 25 000. Obviously, a lot of sort of justice news about with the Garda conferences ongoing at the moment. The Irish Times has some quotes from Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan. And I think it's important to mention these things, because what happens is these ideas are floated and the reaction determines whether or not they're enforced in the end. And Jim O'Callaghan wants to see greater Garda stop and search powers. I wonder what you guys think about this. Minister for Justice Jim O'Callaghan is progressing plans to grant Garda stronger stop and search powers, despite a report commissioned by his department showing they do little to combat crime. The report also found the approach, which has been adopted by UK police forces, created resentment towards the police and harmed community relations. In February, Mr. O'Callaghan said new laws were needed to give Gardaí greater power to stop and search people they suspect of carrying knives. This following a number of high-profile knife attacks in Dublin, including attacks on three people in Stony Batter on February 9th, and the alleged murder of Quham Babatunde in the city centre following a concert. In 2021, the department created a group to examine approaches to reducing knife crime. This was chaired by the Minister of State, James Brown, and formed part of the department's anti-social behaviour form. So obviously there's been an increase in knife crime in this country of late, which is increasing the need for further stops and searches. But I mean, like, we'll see what happens in England. They've just announced that they're banning samurai swords in Britain, because so many attacks are happening in the cities with samurai swords. But it's not banning the swords, you know what I mean? It's not swords that are going out slashing people. It's people, and you need to have enforcement, and these things need to be seen as very serious crimes and people need to be locked up. But I wonder what has led to an increase in knife crime in this country that's led to a need for greater stop and search powers. What do you think about that? Do you think it's a good idea? Would it be something that might make you feel safer walking around the place if you knew that people would be less likely to carry an offensive weapon because they might feel they could be stopped and searched by Gardaí? But what happens even if people are stopped and searched? I don't know. Anyway, it's another layer of law over the top of society, and I wonder, is it really maybe not addressing what the root cause is, and that's, people more inclined to carry knives? The Irish Daily Mail this morning, women don't won't be reimbursed for the cost of hormone replacement therapy that was due to become free, a state of affairs that has been labelled insulting. Now, this doesn't surprise me. It would be unusual and I'm not saying I don't think it should happen, but it'd be unusual if a date slipped for something then to be backdated. There's lots of commitments and promises made by government. Auto-enrolment pensions, the minimum wage, for example. The minimum wage was due to increase. It's going to be pushed back. So when it is increased, obviously, you know, it isn't going to be backdated. I'm not saying that shouldn't be the case, but this is one of those stories, I think, where someone's asked a question, is it to be backdated? Someone says no, and they've made that the story. Well, legislation to provide free HRT came into effect on January 1st, but its implementation was delayed in a row between government and pharmacists, with no date set for its commencement. And the Irish Daily Mail can reveal that the scheme will not be backdated when it is finally implemented. Health Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill has confirmed pharmacies will only be reimbursed for the cost of the medication from the date the measures formally commence. As I say, that doesn't surprise me. Some quotes from the Taoiseach as it relates to, as I flagged at the start of the show there, Rory McIlroy's achievement. He seemed to be very emotional about it all. Taoiseach Micheál Martin, US President Donald Trump and Britain's King Charles led political tributes to Rory McIlroy after he made history by winning the Masters and completing a career Grand Slam. So I kind of watched, it was in the background and there was other noise when Micheál Martin was talking about McIlroy. Did he have tears in his eyes? Was he emotional? He did make some sort of a reference to falling and getting back up again and falling and getting back up again, which made me think of Jesus Christ and the cross around Easter time. I'm not sure if he was sort of saying Rory McIlroy's achievement is sort of in that same ballpark. But anyway, he did look like he was very upset. I haven't seen that before. Especially given all the serious items that he's asked to comment on. Or maybe he just had watery eyes that day. The achievement cemented Rory McIlroy's position amongst the best golfers of all time. Mr. Martin said he was left breathless by the roller coaster ending to the Irish golfer's near two-decade pursuit of the green jacket at arguably the most famous golf course in the world, Augusta National. It was an incredible evening, and we were all up into the early hours of this morning. Apparently, their family WhatsApp group was going crazy. On to the Irish Daily Sun again. I just want to mention this because it's a story that if you don't hear about it today, you may not realise it's going to happen. The Sun, Ireland's Defence Forces Special Ops Unit, and I'm not sure, and this is not to be in any way critical of it, I'm not sure you were aware that we did have a Special Ops Unit, but we do. They're set to get a new €46 million HQ and training centre. The Army Rangers Wing are a secretive elite unit in Ireland's Defence Forces. So secretive, in fact, I didn't know they existed. The Rangers were involved in the most dangerous military missions. Back in 2021, they were deployed to Kabul to evacuate Irish citizens there after the Taliban had taken control of Afghanistan. And I believe they had to go on a different country's plane because we didn't have a plane that could go in and out, if that's the same story. Rangers were also tasked with dropping out of helicopters to forcibly take control of the MV Matthews ship in 2023 as part of the one of the country's largest ever drug seizures. I remember that footage too. So, $46 million for a new HQ down at the Corra. Now, on to the Irish Daily Mirror. I don't know, how interested have you been in this story of Katy Perry and a few other women's brief entry into space? 11 minutes they were in flight, I think it was. They went up in this rocket, this private rocket. Then the rocket separates from the pod in which they were located. It floats around in space for a bit and then falls to the earth with parachutes deploying, and they all got out safe. Pop star Katy Perry made history as part of the first all-female group spacecraft. The suborbital mission run by Amazon billionaire Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin marked a milestone in private space exploration. It lasted 10 minutes and 23 seconds and reached the Kármán line, 62 miles, about 100 kilometres above sea level, the recognised boundary of space, and the capsule spent 4 minutes in microgravity before descending with parachutes and landing safely in the Texas desert. It carried Katy Perry along with aerospace engineer Aisha Bowe, US TV anchor Gail King, entrepreneur Amanda Nguyen, film producer Kerri-Anne Flynn and Lauren Sanchez's fiancé of 61-year-old tycoon Jeff. Now, what is this fantastic? Is this one small step for womankind, a great leap for mankind, or whatever it might be? Like, the struggle I have with these stories is that there's an awful lot of stuff going around at the moment telling us that we are destroying the planet, right? And you will see that there is big stories that are going to be covered today about how climate is changing, and we're going to have to change our crops because harvests are drying out, and we're going to have to do our bit. And yet we have billionaires living completely different lives, right? Spending millions upon millions upon millions on these rockets. Effectively, Bezos and Elon Musk are in a peeing competition, right? So they're spending billions trying to get into space and fly people to space. You know, there's people starving all over the world, and then we're asked to contribute, and we're happy to do that, right? But maybe these guys might be better off spending a bit of money in supporting mankind themselves. And also, you know, you've got the likes of that TV presenter who I'm sure goes on and does interviews telling people that they need to stop burning solid fuel or putting triple glazed windows and stuff like that. And yet there they are floating around in space. And it's not even really space, is it? It just is. I think it's makes a mockery of a lot of stuff anyway. But again, maybe that's just me being cranky because I only got 5 hours sleep last night. And finally, the Irish Daily Star this morning. A dead spider in a loaf of brown bread and a pack of muesli full of maggots were among almost 5,000 consumer complaints made to Food Safety Authority of Ireland's advice line last year. Disgusting. But what's the most disgusting thing you've ever found in your food? Or what's the most stomach-churning thing along these lines that you've experienced? Come on, guys. I know you have your stories. Get them into me. 086 60 25,000, or WhatsApp or text, or give us a call on 0749125000. Can you beat a dead spider in a loaf of brown bread or muesli full of maggots? Well, a total of 8,596 complaints and queries were handled by the support line or handled in 24, with the number of complaints increasing by almost 14%. All complaints received by the authority in 24 were followed up and investigated by food inspectors throughout the country. So a lot of foreign objects have been found in food, including a metal pin in pre-packed prawns, a piece of plastic in a milkshake, and a metal nail in a takeaway meal. A snail in a box of grapes, a live insect in a burrito bowl, which sounds lovely, and a large piece of metal in a chocolate biscuit. Can you beat any of those in your life experiences? 086 60 25,000. Okay, back shortly. We say good morning now to Tony Grant. Hi, Tony. Thank you for your time today.
Hello, Greg. Good morning. Hi.
Your story is one of your cancer treatment. Where do you want to begin?
Last Monday, I had an appointment in Sligo Hospital at 9:15 for some surgery in the daycare ward to remove cancer from my face. And I was travelling on public transport, so I went down on Sunday on the 64 bus from Derry to Galway. Got off at Sligo and then had booked into a hotel, and I was on time that next on Monday morning for my appointment. And because it was a day ward, I needed to be back on that bus at 3:00 to get back to Letterkenny to get my connection on another bus back to Buncrana. So that was the deadline, 3:00 to be in the bus station in Sligo. And so I needed to leave the hospital, you know, on a taxi at probably 2:30 to get me there in time, and that worked fine. I did get the taxi out, and I made the bus, and was on the bus. But the hiccup was it hadn't stopped bleeding, the wound.
Well, would it be unusual, Tony, considering? I mean, obviously, it's a significant operation, not a major one, but just like at 8:45, that was what time your appointment was at. what do you just go straight in and it's done, or what?
Yes. Well, by 10 o'clock, I was in the operating room and operating theatre, which, you know, and it's the surgeon and the understudy and five or six people around the table. So it was a shock to me that it was such a big event, actually. I wasn't expecting that. But however, you know, everything was fine. Everything was fine. Apart from something that nobody could control, I suppose, that the bleeding didn't stop before I left the hospital.
Yeah, but you were discharged. And, like, I just want to get down to that bit, Tony. Like, did they say, unfortunately, Mr. Grant, the wound is still bleeding, we're going to have to keep you for a while just to try and stem that flow? Or is it a case of, right, that's it, now off you go, heading back to Donegal, however you might do it? I'm just curious of the immediate aftercare of this operation.
Yeah, they said, look, if that continues, the surgeon said it will stop. And he was right, it did stop, you know. It stopped at 10 o'clock at night when I was in bed. Finally stopped when my head went down on the pillow. And, you know, that's the thing. He said, if you have any problems with it, go to your GP. That's with the advice, leaving the hospital. But actually, when I was leaving the hospital, even the non-medical staff stopped me and said, what happened to you? And, you know, they're used to people coming in and out all the time. But I said, sarcastically, you know, because my mood wasn't great whenever I was suffering. Well, I felt, I wasn't suffering. I was just had a procedure, and I'm a good warrior. And I'm 76, but I'm a fit man. And So they said to me, what happened to you? And I said sarcastically back, I tripped on the stairs. And the reply was, well, you should see somebody before you leave the hospital. You shouldn't leave the hospital like that. And I said, no, I just had a procedure. I climbed down right away. I knew I was overstepped the line. And I said, I had a procedure. I'm okay. So went out, got into the taxi and was back on the bus. But they gave me plenty of bandages or whatever to mop up the blood. Now, it wasn't bleeding profusely. It was a drip. That's what it was. And uncomfortable and all the rest of it. And lots of gazing from the general public when I got off at Letterkenny. So there you are. It was stressful.
It was stressful. And, you know, I think you're quite reasonable in what you sent us, in that, you know, if it is a case that the likes of yourself have to travel, which is a really quite a long way and a complicated, I mean, it was like plane, trains and automobiles coming home, you know, the taxi and two buses, that if we are having to travel to Sligo or Galway or Dublin for these procedures, you know, not everyone has the finances or necessarily the ability to book overnight accommodation and sort out all the connections and all that type of stuff. You're of the view that there should be, if we are forced to travel, there should be accommodation provided. Is that what you think?
Yes, I think a solution to an awful lot of the problems of appointments, etc., and management of patients would be a non-medical accommodation close to the hospital or on the hospital grounds that would be non-medical, and that people could book into, and then before, afterwards, whenever, just in case something goes wrong or you're not completely ready to go home. But you don't actually need, I didn't need any extra medical care as it turned out. But, you know, just as it turned out, I might have needed. What if it hadn't? The bleeding hadn't stopped when I went to sleep and it bled all night. You know that type of thing.
Well, what if the advice was that you need to stay actually till we keep an eye on you? You would have missed the bus, maybe not been able to booking anywhere. Yes. You could have found yourself standing in Sligo town or wherever, standing outside the hospital at 5 o'clock in the evening. You know,
my worry. That was my anxiety there now. I want to get home. And the only way I could get home is that 3 o'clock deadline. And they understood that. And they had no bed for me. So we were in a catch-22 situation here now. What are we going to do? And I know they didn't want to let me leave. They were telling, you know, they would have liked me to stay longer. But it was me setting the deadline, really, for the bus. And unless, well, if I hadn't done that, I would have had to get stay another night in a hotel, right? So, and that would have been, you know, now in my stressed situation, I would have to go booking a hotel and finding a hotel and et cetera, you know, because I hadn't booked one at that stage.
No.
Or maybe get a taxi from Sligo back home in my stressful situation. That would have cost me something.
Well, a couple hundred, £300. See, it's just some people would see it sort of as a health tax, you know, a geography tax, in that, you know, if you're from Sligo or Mayo or Leitrim, you know, these services are very, very local to you. But obviously you're in North Donegal and you have to go from one bus to another and taxis and all that type of stuff. It's an interesting it's an interesting insight, Tony. Fair play to you anyway for getting home safe.
Yeah, but it wasn't an isolated incident.
Yeah.
This is it. I'm not just an isolated incident, you know. I never thought I'd find myself in that situation. But I was on a bus, the John McGinley bus to Dublin one time from Buncrana, and there was a man distressed further up the bus, and I could see it. And when we stopped in Monaghan for the comfort stop, I approached him, and he wasn't able to talk to me. He was so stressed. And when he got off at Dublin Airport, I got off as well, and I spoke to him, and we walked towards the terminal. And I said, are you traveling out? Are you flying? And he said, oh, no, I'm going in here to sit on a bench all night, because I've got an early appointment in Beaumont Hospital in the morning for cancer care. And he pulled up his trouser leg when we sat down to have a cup of hot chocolate, and he showed me his wound. I was horrified. On his leg, the open wound. And that poor man, you know, at the same age as myself about that. I said, why didn't you reschedule for another later in the day? Why, you know, and he said, I didn't want to, because they might have put me at the bottom of a list. So
his plan, his plan, he sounds like he was from Donegal. His plan was to, he actually had planned to go down on the bus, get off at the airport, sleep overnight in the airport, because obviously he could blend in with travellers. That was his plan. And then make his way for an early appointment in Beaumont the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, that's horrendous, Tony. And no one's going to admit to that, because you might feel a little embarrassed to do so. It's only the fact that we can sort of hear it third hand from you.
Well, actually, Greg, I know you get so many calls about so many issues, and you had, you know, Dr. Keira Steele on yesterday talking about it, and we're all with her on this, and Rosina Doherty Toner, you know, her campaign outside the hospital for better cancer care. But, you know, I was so incensed. I spoke to Highland Radio about this at the time, and thankful to them for airing it. But, you know, nothing seems to change. I rang Beaumont Hospital to make that complaint. Why couldn't you reschedule so that he could get the bus and be in Dublin Airport, say, at 12 o'clock and that next day, and then make his later appointment? So that would have worked. I complained to the hospital on his behalf, not mentioning his name, and they put me onto a PR company to discuss it.
Wow. So, do you think there should be? I mean, firstly, there's a complication with later appointments if you go to Galway, for an example, because you can't get home, or Sligo, for that matter. But I just wonder if there should be, you know, more flexibility for people from the Northwest travelling these great distances. In other words, it's the responsibility of the hospital to take into consideration where we're travelling from, and at that time offer, you know, more flexible times, because we're already disadvantaged by having to travel great distance. Maybe they could work with us and say, we understand, by the way, from our notes that you're coming from Donegal. With that in mind, you know, would a 2:30 appointment suit you better than an 8:30 appointment? Now, maybe someone's got a hotel room and the 8:30 suits them, but, you know, to offer that flexibility given people's geographical removal from the location of the hospital. But that doesn't happen. But these are simple things that you think could happen.
The system is so chunky, it can't be flexible. You know, when I've been attending Sligo on numerous occasions with getting different parts dealt with, different spots on the head and so on the rest of my body. And I have asked him about this situation to schedule me earlier, the first patient in, please, you know, because I have to get the bus at 3 o'clock. This is a regular thing. Mm-hmm. And they're unable to do it. And the next minute they get the letter again, and it's a later date, a later time on that day. And I just ignore that and go in, and the medical staff are great. I explain it to them that I have to get that 3 o'clock bus, and they said, "Oh, it's okay. You can take you in first."
You're unique, I think, Tony, in that you're a very obviously strong advocate for yourself. Yeah, a lot of us wouldn't. You know, it's like that guy that went down to Dublin. He's fearful that if he takes on the system, he gets bumped to the bottom of the list. Do you know what I mean? You've experienced. You understand that. So, just to be clear, there's no way for you to get back from Sligo to Buncrana on public transport after 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock is the last bus.
Is the last bus out of Sligo that I can possibly take an hour so that I can get home. Yes.
Right. Okay. And that's because of. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Because I could go on to Derry and then get the McGonagall bus back to Buncrana. Yes, that's possible.
But anything's possible, Tony. But it doesn't mean it's realistic.
It. Yeah, okay. I haven't done it, but I did the math, and it looked like it was possible.
Well, you could get a bus to Burtonport, head out in the Blue Ferry.